Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyfoot Winery.
Brotherhood.
Gamma's Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Fellow de Borgheses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Blackhead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Okay. I still don't hear Ron. He said he could hear me before, but I don't hear Ron now. And he's calling from the landline. Ron, cannot hear you. Is your phone muted? Do you have a mute button on your phone, home phone, or whatever you're calling from? Hello? I don't hear anything. We're on two different planes, I guess. No audio. I don't know if he can hear me because I can't hear anything on his end. So, total silence. Hello? I don't know if his phone is muted or if it's even, if we're even, hello? I don't hear anything. I heard the intro. I don't know if you have a mute button on there, but I'm not hearing anything.
Hello, can anyone hear me out there?
This is still on.
Hello, can anyone hear me in radio land out there? You're not connected. Please call in. Oh, host pin. Yeah, it won't let me go unless I do the host.
All right, you there?
I'm here. You there?
Yes, now I can hear. Wow.
Okay.
They're having some issues. I think they're having some issues because I disconnected and tried to call back, and all I got was the ringing sound and never picked up. And I just tried calling again, and now I'm finally through.
Well, I tried my normal procedure by going through Skype like I always do.
Right.
And it wouldn't connect. I pull it down, I hit the dial button, and it usually gives me the screen so I can connect through. It did not. So I played with that for like 3 minutes trying to get through. And then I call on landline, and that's I can hear you. I was able to hear you all the time on that. And
wow.
But
I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, I know. You couldn't hear anything but I heard everything you were saying. And so I hung it up and I got my cell phone and I called the host call in number. And it showed on the screen Washington. And then the girl came in and says, "You are out of your calling area. You will incur a $1.
Okay. I don't know what's going on, but that's
strange.
I don't
know what's out of my call area. Then I called just a guest call in line and connected myself online. And so, but I don't know if we're going out to the world or not because the host isn't logged in.
Let me see if I can. Oh, the host isn't logged in. Oh, let me check and see if I can play this. There's no way to reverse the time on the player. Huh. That's odd.
Yeah.
Your request line is ringing.
I let's see. Trying to call in. Yeah, it won't let me go. It won't dial. I'm on Block Talk Radio and it won't dial.
It says it says host disconnected. No callers. Huh. All right, hang on. Let me see if I can call with hang up or what's it called? Hangouts that I'm using and see if I can call the host call in number. I'll try that.
Okay.
I got to be back.
Yeah. Well, if anybody's out there listening to us, we are having major technical difficulties tonight. I don't know what's going on. It shows that the host is disconnected an hour ago. Wow. 1 hour, 19 minutes ago, the host disconnected. And since I am the host, I did not disconnect 1 hour, 19 minutes ago. So I don't know what's going on with this. I don't know if anyone can hear me.
Are you there? Are you there now?
Back. Yeah, I'm still here.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I called the host call-in number, entered the PIN, and now it shows we're okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So.
I was just looking at this. Okay, this is stream left. Okay. Now, it showed on this that the host disconnected, and I never was connected to be the host, so I don't know.
Strange.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Blog Talk Radio have an issue tonight or just Skype? It must be Blog Talk Radio because.
Yeah, because I'm not using I'm not using Skype, but I did have issues with Blog Talk Radio before the show started. But I heard the theme music. I mean, I was hearing it doesn't give me the time before the show because that's not on my end as a caller, but. I did hear the intro and all that stuff, so I was getting through. I don't know if it's but you said you were having problems calling with the other phone number. So
I can't get in and call via Skype. I've got my username in there and it's got the little dial. I'm clicking on the dial and it's doing absolutely nothing. And it should give me the couple more screens and then connect, and it's not doing it tonight. So and also there's an issue with Skype too because it's not giving me the voice testing, the echo test. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with all these things. I mean, they take our money every month, but
yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
That's true. That's not a good thing. Well, it looks like we're on now, and I can't get the player because I think it's I don't hear anything on there because it's probably violating the audio card. So that output's not going to work because I can't. They'd be listening to two things at one time, and it'll conflict with each other. So I'm guessing we are on now because it says we're on, and the stream time is left and all that good stuff. So I'm guessing we're on.
Yeah. I'm seeing me as a host, though, which is really odd. It shows my name as host.
You're seeing
yours. So is that my host?
That's mine.
It's showing you as host and showing me as just a guest. Yeah.
Joining me tonight on All About Wine is Ron. And
if everyone can hear us up there, we're having technical difficulties.
We have a guest tonight, and he's on the guest.
Hey.
Yeah. Wow.
I'll
tell you what.
Yeah.
You need to do before we go any further. Why don't you tell him about what's coming up Saturday? Because if we get disconnected, if anything happens, I want people to know.
Yeah. Let me pull up the email because I noticed it was on the newsletter. And this Saturday, which is December the 10th, it is the Florida State's Winery's 15th birthday party. That is Saturday. It is fourth longest running winery in Florida, according to what you said last week. Saturday is a birthday. Is what?
I think we are the fourth longest running. I'm pretty sure we are. So yeah.
It's longer than that. 15 years. 15 years is a good run. That's amazing. And you go into a little bit of history. I just saw this. This Saturday is Florida State's winery's birthday. 15 years ago, they first opened for business, and actually, it was about 12 months before that the whole process started. Founders of Florida State's winery were Dr. Creighton Pruitt and Earl Kaiser. I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. And Earl was the owner of Eden Winery in Alva, Florida. And Dr. Pruitt asked about opening a winery in Land O'Lakes, and they agreed to a concept and started the task of getting all the required paperwork done. Work was started to convert the hunting lodge, that's interesting, to a winery. Huh. All of this started around August 1st, 2001. The building is now home of Florida State's winery, and it was completed within a month. It took much longer for the government paperwork to be completed. It was probably about another 10 years of that. And on December 5th, 2001, the doors were officially opened. Wow. Isn't that interesting? So what do you mean a hunting lodge? Was that just like a club name, or was that really a hunting lodge?
No, this was the building it's in now was a hunting lodge before they converted over. It was a home, a family home. In fact, the two young boys that grew up in the home have been back to visit me since then. They're both in their upper 40s. They've been back to visit. And then they had it converted to a bunkhouse for a while for the ranch there, and they had quite a few cattle on it. And then they made it a hunting lodge for deer and hogs, wild hogs, and then switched it over to a winery. And that's what it is. You know, the setup and everything now is for a winery. The main room in the winery was the living room, and over in the one corner, the south corner, there was a wall there, and that was another bedroom. It was actually a three-bedroom house there, a little small three-bedroom house with a kitchen, dining room area, all big open space.
Wow.
And so
That seems to be almost a common thing, I guess, with some wineries is, you know, they're not these giant, you know, like aluminum-made factory-looking buildings. I mean, I guess some of them could be, but, you know, like the ones I visited in when I was in Texas in Grapevine, that one was a home back in the 1800s, and, you know, where they did the wine tasting was originally like, you know, a I don't know back then what they called it, but like a living room. and you know, the different rooms and stuff were used. It was basically a home, and it was a, converted into a winery. So it's kind of a common thing. You know, way back there before the show, I always thought wineries were these giant warehouse structures, you know, that had nothing but tanks, and that's what they were always, you know, they always were, just some kind of big factory producing, you know, wine type of a thing to it. And, you know, finding out, no, they're more like livable places.
Well, and actually, I've been to wine meets all around the country, and, you know, there's so many of them. They're just little small houses and barns or something. You know, somebody decided to make a winery. The little one in Kansas I went to is a little small building behind the house that was the sweet old lady's canning room. And so when they started to make wine, do the winery there, they converted over to a winery. And, you know, you find that all over the country. I mean, just all of these little small, like you say, little small, tiny places, and they've converted them around to something else and doing wine out of it. So, yeah, it's
interesting. Overall, I never knew that was a house.
In fact, a lot of them do double as houses. People do live upstairs in some of them and stuff like that. There's up in the Panhandle. What is the name of that? I know it.
Emerald?
No, the little small one that we saw. No. I don't know. Engineer, I can't remember either. But it was, you walk in there and it was just a little small room. They had an upstairs that was a storage room. The winery consists of a couple of barrels with boards across the top of it. That was the tasting room. And it was just, very unique. And you find that all over the country when you start seeing wineries. People do imagine wineries as great big factory things, like you just said. But it's amazing how many small ones there are out there. Well, in fact, I just, the number of small wineries are like 85% of the wineries are small ones in the country. So,
all right. Anyway, that's so Saturday, the 10th of December. That's in 2 days, day after tomorrow. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a wine fest, and it's the celebration of Florida State's Winery's 15th birthday, so anniversary birthday. So come on out and enjoy the weekend. The weather is going to be amazing. It may be on the cool side. I'm not sure about Saturday. I know tomorrow it's supposed to be dipping down there, but Saturday may be a little cool, so bring a jacket just in case. But the weather's going to be fantastic. There's also going to be music, live music, and you can do a wine tasting with Ron. It'd probably be very busy, but we'll see. And a lot of vendors out there, some returning, some new ones, and it's just going to be a fun day. Cake, I believe, you said last weekend there was going to be a cake. And oh, cool. Shopping is going to be fun. It's going to be a great celebration, and come on out and enjoy the day at Florida State's Winery and the birthday festivities on 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, December the 10th. So
and
we'll see you there.
And extra special guest, Mike, is going to come.
Wow. Funny. My name is Mike, too.
Mike of All About Wine and his own music program on Sky Blue Radio. So he will be coming in, and so you get a chance to meet Mike also if you get there at the right
signing
time.
Signing autographs. We'll have 8x10s of us there. We'll be signing autographs.
And he told me he would waive his autograph fee for the birthday party. So
yeah, I was going to back out of that. I was going to continue charging because, the situations, but that's fine. I can waive it for Saturday.
Well, if you're not going to waive it, then I won't give you the
pick it up. I guess I have to go sit in the yard again and sign it there out front here, where the bus parks. I'll be behind the tour bus and celebrating that. But yeah, well, good stuff. Well, wow, 15 years. That's amazing. I mean, a lot of people in businesses say that if you make it past 7 years, you've made it. And 15, that's a big accomplishment. So, you know, fantastic. And
I said we've survived oil spills and we've survived hurricanes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're good.
And you had, what was chewing up the yard? Not armadillos. What was it? Hogs or something?
Wild hogs, yeah. Wild boar.
Wild hogs, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, man. They did a number. You can't tell now. It's recovered. But, boy, I'll tell you what.
Right.
There was that one year there that they tore up almost everything along the line there.
Mm-hmm. Were they actually digging, like you had a bunch of little sinkholes, or was it just they were digging up the plants?
It looked like somebody took a plow and just turned the soil over. That's really what it looked like. And
saved you from having to till your lawn.
Yeah, and you know, I had to take a garden rake out there and level it out as much as I could. I had to take a hole and shovel. Then when I ran across it with the lawnmower, it still tore up the blades because I didn't get it flat enough. And it's horrible. You can't tell now. Everything is drawn over, and over the years, it's healed itself. But boy,
it was a mess.
It was a mess. I hope I don't see that stuff again. Yeah.
All right. So we'll see everybody Saturday at Florida State's Winery. It's going to be a great wine fest and birthday celebration. So, cake and everything. So come on out.
And presents, we're going to be handing out presents all day long, door prizes, if you will. But it's a birthday party, so they're actually presents. And so, see you there.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, we didn't go through our little pre-show checklist thing of what we do, what we're going to talk about. So I'm just leaving that up to you. And I'm
talking all before. I got a few things to pass on to you. This connection I don't think is real good, so I don't know how well I sound. I found something though. We always say, we give you what the things are for the month or the days or stuff like that, so you can give you good opportunity to have wine. I found something that is really, really going to help us for this month. This next month. This is next month. Oh, well, never mind. This is for January. We'll start in January. But January is National Hot Tea Month. It's National Oatmeal Month and some other stuff going on. So I'll give you... It will give you a weekly thing that you can toast a glass of wine to starting next month. This is not about wine, but it's something I do want to share with you. It's a study finds that more than 1,300 active craft spirit producers are in the United States. And we're talking spirits now, not wine or beer, but spirits. The American Craft Spirits Association, or ASCA, also International Wine and Spirits Research, the IWSR. Everybody has initials. We should call us ABW. Oh, AAW. AAW. What program? I have AAW every Thursday night. And Park Street released highlights from the Craft Spirits Data Project that was held in New York last month. The year-long Craft Project seeks to quantify the number, size, and impact of craft spirits produced in the United States. It's an effort to get collaboration from government and industry organizations and data partners. These are the findings. As of August 2016, there were 1,315 craft distillers active in the United States. The U.S. craft spirits market reached 4.9 million cases and $2.4 billion in retail sales in 2015. That is a growth of 27.4% volume and 27.9% in value. Exports of U.S. craft spirits reached 523,000 cases in 2015. That's an additional 10% from previous year. Direct sales made up 25% of all the sales, and home state sales outside the distillery for small producers comprised 67% of the sales, or over, well, just about a third. Well, it is a third, isn't it? 67, 2/3, a third of all sales. The top five states by number of craft distilleries is California, New York, Washington, Colorado, and Texas, which make up 35.6% of all U.S. craft distillers. The next five states, Oregon, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Ohio, and Florida, comprise an additional 16.5% of the market. So the top 10 states take up half of the market, actually over half the market. But Florida, number 10, that surprised me. But just FYI, craft distilleries are exploding along with wineries, along with everything. I mean, you know, it's amazing the amount of craft beers and wines and distilleries that are popping up in this country. Let's see. Let me pull up if I can find it here. Things that I want to talk about. Pennsylvania. We've talked about how Pennsylvania has always been a tough state to sell stuff in, a tough state to get stuff done in, a tough state to do all that stuff. But Pennsylvania has loosened up its alcohol licensing laws, and it's going to help everybody. Since 1933, the United States has been a checkerboard of state liquor laws and liquor sales and wine and all that, alcohol sales. Because of prohibition, when it was repealed, gave all the decisions back to the states. We've talked about that before. And the states have pretty much ran it, you know, with an iron hand. Most of them have switched over. The FreeTheGrapes.org. We've talked to him a couple of times, the president of that company, and he's, I don't want to say company, it's a business. And his purpose is to get free shipping of grapes and our free shipping of wines all around the country. And, you know, I emailed the president and asked him if he could take an executive order to make that possible, and I never heard from him. He probably thought I was some sort of a kook or something. But FreeTheGrapes.org is going to try to get this. They are slowly switching. There are about 17 control states still in this country, 17, and two districts in Maryland, which are control, which state liquor board enforces how and when drinks can be sold and all that good stuff. The control states, and this is something here, the legacy of control states meant that vodka bottles were sent down delivery chutes camouflaged in newspaper and accounted for limited and lowbrow wine shops and profit galore for state governments, much of which was used in programs to prevent underage drinking. The results were that there was few fine wine shops all over the country, and the overall per capita in the states compared to the number of wine shops was really, really disproportionate. And also in those states, there's no supermarket sales of wine or liquor. It continued to be a challenge for restaurants who try to do artesian products and who try to get expensive wine ins for customers. And it just always was a problem. A good example, bartenders in South Carolina were once restricted for many years to make cocktails from the 187 milliliter mini bottles, you know, the airplane bottles we call them. They could not do that. It was against the law. So what they would do is they would, locals would order two shots three ways, which meant that they would have two bottles split into three shots, the bigger bottles into three shots, which got around the laws of not being able to use 187 milliliter. These have been going on all over the country. I mean, we've talked to Free the Grapes out of Oregon. You said that, you know, some of the silly laws. We've talked to some of the states and all that. But certain areas are starting to loosen those laws, are starting to change those laws, are starting to go into a little bit less of the strictness that we grew to hate from the prohibition leading into the states. Washington State was the first to respond to this. In 2005, they privatized its spirit sales system. Oregon was believed to be the next one. But, however, they were beaten to the punch by Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is the largest single wine purchase entity. Act 39 was signed into law on June 8, 2016, and became effective 2 months later. It allows supermarkets to sell wine, permits longer opening hours for wine sales on Sunday, grants permission for consumers to buy wine to go from restaurants and hotels, and allows significantly more wine to be shipped to residents from out-of-state wineries. And it also facilitates new alcohol beverage sales license to be auctioned off in a more timely manner. So quite a thing, this proposition, or this Act 39. The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board Director, Elizabeth Brasel, said approximately 10,000 restaurant licensees and 1,200 hotelers will be able to sell wine on premise as a result of this. And now residents can order up to 36 cases a year from licensed Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board directly to their home. A big thing there. Also, extended hours. The wine shops can stay open now from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sundays, whereas it used to be noon to 5. And this is also licensed. Wine licenses are scheduled to be more easily available instead of the long process of trying to go through the system like they did. It's basically, they expect overall wine sales to increase 5 to 10% over the next year because of the changes brought by Act 39. Many of the supermarket chains, such as Wegmans, declined comment for the story, but they expect a bunch of new products in the portfolio, the only thing they responded to. Citizen feedback has been phenomenal for this. They're actually excited that they can find the wines that they want. Here, the details. Restaurants and bars will now be allowed to sell up to 4 bottles of wine to go. The supermarket sales rollout is just getting started. It's going on right now. It started in October, and it's really just starting to boom now. They're finding a lot more wines to be able to put in the shelf. It says groceries are looking at a lot higher volume of wine sales, and they're scrambling to try to get the wines that people want. Also, the fact that people can get 36 cases per year under the new legislation is helping the West Coast producers pick up sales in the state, West Coast of the United States, California, Oregon, Washington. The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board has yet to receive any applications for direct-to-consumer shipping from a foreign winery. They expect it to happen, though. The application fee is $250, and if they get enough sales and stuff, they expect it to start picking up a lot on that. The restaurants are excited about this. They said that this is going to start helping a lot. The restaurants also saying that they do not look at themselves as being a wine sale store. They are still a restaurant, but they are going to have wine for bottles if they so desire. So the market is shifting and it is changing. And Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board says that this is a good thing and it will help everyone in the state of Pennsylvania. So, good deal. We've heard lots of bad things about Pennsylvania and the liquor state liquor stores and all that stuff. We've talked to a lot of people in Pennsylvania over the years about that, and I think this is going to be something that they're all going to be very excited about and could work very well for them. Where is it? Oh, Appalachian High Country. It's the newest AVA, just to let you know, so you can start looking for it and see if you might want to, since you all know what AVAs are, since you listen to the program. Basically, the summary here states that the TTB established approximately 2,400 square mile Appalachian High Country viticultural area, American viticultural area, in all or portions of the following counties. And it's Allegheny County, Ash, Avery, Mitchell, and Watauga counties in North Carolina, Carter and Johnson counties in Tennessee, and Grayson County in Virginia. So it encompasses three states. The viticulture area is not located with any other viticulture area. TTB designates viticulture areas to allow ventures to better design the origin, or describe the origin of their wines, and to allow consumers to better identify wines they may purchase. So yes, I'm still on. I just want to check and be sure because the ruling came in right before it went to effect was on November the 28th, and it's the AVA's of unique grape growing region and the crops and soil. The Appalachian High Country region spans 2,400 acres, and for bottles of wine to feature the coveted AVA label, 85% of the grapes must be grown within those boundaries. The Watauga County Tourism Development Authority is extremely excited. They're going to start promoting it. Also, wineries, Bethel Valley Farms Winery is going to start changing the label and indicating the AVA of Appalachian High Country, Appalachian High Country, albeit. So, 234 other AVAs in the country. Only about 100 exist outside of California. So, there's the newest one is Appalachian High Country AVA. Okay, let me get rid of that. Let me get rid of that, and let me talk about this. Now, this is almost silly. No, it's not. I shouldn't say that. I'll let you form your own opinion. Where is it? Okay, there it is. I don't think I said anything about this last week, but this is something new that just came out. And as soon as this loads, can you still hear me, Mike?
Yes. Yeah, I'm just typing stuff.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes. I started to panic because you didn't hear me right away. Oh my gosh! I got this.
Well, I hit the mute button so I can type and you don't hear the clicking noises. And then asked the question. I was like, okay, mouse has got to go over to this monitor.
You can mute again. I'll go back to talking. I just wanted to be sure I was still here.
Yeah, you're there.
Okay, good. This genetics of a startup company called Vinome, V-I-N-O-M-E, is promising to deliver the, quote, ultimate personalized wine experience, end quote, customized to your DNA. It says there isn't much, actually there isn't any science to back this up, but it's being backed up by a big company. Vinome just linked up with a startup called Helix, H-E-L-I-X, which is also backed by the world's biggest DNA sequencing company, which is Illumina, I-L-L-U-M-I-N-A, Illumina. Illumina? Yeah, I guess. Illumina has been making machines that can quickly decode the human genome. And they've sold it to research companies, medical researchers around the world. Now they're looking at doing something more in the consumer market. And that is selling wine for about $65 per bottle. Vinome promises to pick out great wines that are perfectly paired to you through an analysis of 10 generic variants in your DNA collected via saliva samples. The company is based in Northern California, warehouse. And it even incorporates a helix and a DNA of a DNA and its logo of a corkscrew. Medical geneticist Dr. Jim Evans is not impressed. He says, completely silly. Their model of a little science and a lot of fun would be more accurately put, no science and a lot of fun. He says, you can't, you know, places are trying to match up DNA to find your soulmate. He said, it's just all games. He said, none of it is anything because there's too many variables, you know, life, all that other stuff. The Vinome is just one in a growing wave of consumer genetic test companies that look at your nutrition, weight, athletic training based on analysis of cheek cells, blood, and saliva. Basically, there's really no science behind it, they're saying. There is rarely a straight line between genetic variant and complex traits like fitness, weight, or what you like in a good wine. Although the company is going forward with it, he said the CEO, Ronnie Andrews, says he's sure they're on to something. He said, you listen to people, and he said, they're all excited about it. They have done some selling already. It did a soft opening in May and has sold and shipped about 300 bottles of California wines to dozens of customers. The minimum purchase is 3 bottles plus genetic testing for $199. But the official launch will be this month, December, during the holiday season. Next year they hope to do national advertising and stuff. They said the genetic variants in genes such as the TAS2R38, which is a taste receptor, can help indicate whether you're going to like the wine or not like the wine and the characteristics of it. So, you know, I don't know. It says, Ronnie Andrews says, I hear the skepticism, but those people just aren't wine fans. So if you've got an extra $199 to spend on 3 bottles of wine and get your DNA tested, go for it. I would rather spend the whole $199 and just buy wine. You can get a lot of wine for $199 instead of just 3 bottles. So DNA to find out what wine you like. It's interesting. Says that men will tend to lean toward reds and women would tend to lean toward whites. Well, that's just, you know, profiling? I don't know. But new thing out there now, DNA is to tell you if you're wine is any good, or if the wine for you is good. What was this? TTB. Oh, yeah, here we go. Trading Tobacco Bureau has opened up comments for a new AVA. This AVA is Petaluma Gap. I think I might have mentioned this before. The comment period will close on December 27th this year. The AVA is the Petaluma Gap, some 200,000 acres in southern Sonoma County and northern Marin County. I think it's going to overlap other AVAs. I'm sure there are other AVAs in the area. It doesn't say so on this here. But comments, you can go to Alcohol, Tobacco, Tax, and Trade Bureau and punch in the thing for AVA comments, and you can make a comment if you think it should or shouldn't be on that. So the newest one out there. I saw something here that I wanted to share with you, and this caught me. We've talked about kosher wines quite a few times on the program. This is something that we actually had a rabbi on here a couple years ago around Easter telling us about kosher wines. And actually the local synagogue, is it called? Yeah, local synagogue. We actually went to it during their Passover feast. Interesting, enjoyable, educational. And the rabbi was very good about explaining everything, what it was all about. So it was a lot of fun. But I saw this here about making kosher wines in Israel. And the article, and just a little short thing here. This is my blogger. Well, let's see. I lost the... Ziv Simlinski, he's a science writer and a winemaker from Israel, and he talked about, he's also blogged, so. It says that, that was strange. What are you doing, trying to find a phone? Oh, that's the ringing? That's odd. I think I broke the phone when I tried to call in. It says it's not easy to be in Israel and to be an Israeli. The weather, the taxes, the situation, the government, it makes it even more difficult when you're trying to make kosher products. And it says, but all that pales in comparison to making non-kosher wine in Israel, as does this guy I just read you about. Says a good reason for making their decision to shun kosher laws surrounding wine production. I did so on moral grounds. I'm not sure if you are aware or care about what exactly kosher wine is, but whether you are a Jew or Gentile, Israeli or not, you should be aware that wine from Israel is at the center of a maelstrom of religion, identity, social pressure, politics, law, and the intense tension between tradition and modernity. Jewish religion centers on separation and on distinction. We should separate flax from wool, meat from dairy, Sabbath from work days. But first and foremost, we separate the Jews from the Gentiles. And he quoted Numbers 23:9, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. He said, a verse that every Israeli knows. The regulations underpinning food consumption were set millennia ago and compiled, formalized, deepened, and tightened over millennia of some of this Jewish history. For example, from Exodus 23:19, thou shalt not seat a kid in his mother's milk, which turned over the centuries into utter and complete separation of any meat product from any dairy product, including separate kitchen sinks, eating hours, and utensils. he says, the rule book would fill a community library. For wine, the question of kashrut or kosherness, K-A-S-H-R-U-T, kashrut or kashrut, kosherness has a history of its own, similar to the rules of food consumption restrictions evolved over the centuries. In the first chapter of Daniel, Daniel and his companions refused to drink libation wine, wine that was used by the ancient peoples of the Middle East for adultery. Today it is accepted by all that the custom of libation is extinct, and specifically wine made and used by Christians is not a libation wine. You're not worshiping a fake idol, so therefore it's okay. Nevertheless, the popular feeling against the Goyim, G-O-Y-I-M, or Gentiles, led to the custom that a Goy should not be allowed to touch a barrel or a bottle of wine, lest it loses kashrut, or kosherness. The chief commentator on Jewish law could not find a legal basis for this tradition in the written scripture, so he studied in what is today Mainz, Germany, as well a well-known wine region in the 11th century, and the economy of the region was based on grape growing and winemaking. After much deliberation, not being able to find the justification he sought, but respectful of the popular feelings against non-Jews, he noted that the container of wine touched by Gentile is forbidden of enjoyment, meaning not only is the Jewish owner of the wine not allowed to drink it, but he is even forbidden to sell it. You know, because a Gentile touched it, and he can't sell it and enjoy the proceedings of the deal, and must pour the expensive liquid down the drain. This, even if the Goy touched the barrel inadvertently, you would be surprised by the depth of discussion over the centuries of the fine points of barrel-touching coffee. I'm sorry, that certainly is fine. The increasing conversation, ethicism, and religious feelings in Israel is not easy today to find supermarkets or shops that will offer non-kosher wine. Even restaurants that are open on Sabbath are reluctant to show non-kosher wine on their menus. Most Israeli wineries have turned kosher, including those in Kibbutzim, our socialist, often anti-religious communities, and wineries owned by non-Jews. And if an Israeli winery lacking a kosher stamp were trying to export its wine to, say, the United States, it would find itself in double jeopardy. First, the general public is hardly aware that there is such a thing as Israeli wine, much less that it is exciting and delicious. Wine. What is a winemaker to do? For many centuries, catering to the eccentricities of modern Jewish law is the only choice. For the few who really care about the Jewish identity, they are not prepared to consider themselves second-class Jews. He notes, my wife and I would sooner pull out our beautiful vineyards and stop making wine than give in to the notion that we are second-class Jews, whose mere touch would foul up kosherness. An important uphill struggle, a way to struggle for what it means to be Jew and Israeli in the 21st century. Just, yeah, more to it than what we have heard and what I have passed on to you in the past. There's other things that go in the article. I summed up some of this here for you. But it's much more. I really would like to get somebody who is a winemaker in Israeli that speaks English. Maybe this guy. Maybe I can try to get a hold of him. Let's see if I have an email address for him, and I'm trying to get a hold of him. No, but I might be able to comment and get a response from him. I'll see. But it would be interesting to find out more about the laws and all that. I mean, we hear about kosher wine. I told you about kosher wines in different wineries all over Israel, and I had never heard this approach to it before. So I think we're done for the night. You all need to come out to our birthday party. Yes. I'll be there. Mike will be there. I think my engineer is going to be there. She had her surgery there.
Okay.
And so, and my mother-in-law, 97-year-old mother-in-law, is going to be serving cake, so she'll be there.
Wow.
And now we need you there. So, come out.
Come on out. It's a wine fest and a birthday celebration. I guess I could play the regular wine fest.
Yeah.
Okay. Promo, so, yeah. Okay. We'll be back in a minute and 15 seconds if this is the right one. I still don't have them labeled right.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
All right. There you go. Yes. That, I guess it's going to be cool. I'm not sure, but you know,
yeah, it's supposed to be the high 63 Saturday. So
perfect.
You know,
yeah.
Dress accordingly. If you are a northerner, shorts and tank tops. If you are a southerner, parkas, boots, and scarf and gloves.
Yes. Yes.
We
will dress heavily. Dress heavily if you're from the South. So, very simple. Yeah. So that'll be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great celebration as always, and special event. So be sure to be there. And that I actually tweeted that. I put that on Twitter. And Nancy, I can't remember what her handle was, but Nancy at Nancy Red at Nancy Red. Retweeted that. So thank you very much for retweeting that and putting that out there. That's very, very appreciative. So cool. What else?
That's it.
I guess
goodbye.
Yeah. We'll be back next Thursday. That's December the 15th. So tune in 7 p.m. and we will be back at 7 p.m.
All the issues get taken care of.
I don't know what the deal is. I wish they'd email us and say, hey, you know, we're having issues, instead of guessing. But we'll have to cover that with them. December 15th, 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. We'll see you Saturday. You better be there. And drink wine. Enjoy it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for tuning in.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida Estates Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.